Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And we're looking at preparation and painting issues. Joining us now on the line, we welcome Adam Grodziki, who's the founder and director at Maintenance Aid. Adam, a very good afternoon to you, and thank you for taking the time to join us on the Afternoon Overdrive.
Hi, Michael. Nice to be with you and your listeners.
No, great to have you on board, and thanks for availing yourself to, just unpack some DIY tips and DIY methods regarding those who want to paint their homes or perhaps the office areas, call it what you may. So, Adam, DIY regarding preparation and painting. Now, let's start with preparation. I mean, that is core. That is absolutely core before you start applying that choice of color and paint type. So when it comes to preparation, from a DIY perspective, what is it one should be looking out for?
Okay, so I think the most important thing is moisture levels. Obviously, if you have high moisture levels in your walls,
right,
no paint is going to hold there. It is going to delaminate.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not everyone has a damp meter, but I mean, if you've got bubbling on the walls and cracking, you definitely should get that looked at first.
Okay.
In terms of if there is damp or signs of moisture, obviously it's best to call in a professional to have a look.
Right.
And they can treat that damp, as in damp proofing.
Mm-hmm.
Once that's looked at and you're happy with that, then obviously it's a matter of scraping off any loose and flaky paint, basically.
Right.
Cracks can be opened up. And then, I mean, depending on what you're looking at, if you're doing an internal wall, you can use, if the wall has been rhino-lighted previously, you can use rhino-light to patch up those cracks.
Okay.
If cracks are obviously a little bit bigger than like a hairline crack, there might be some structural movement which would actually come back. So that's obviously another thing to look at with a professional. But if it's just a hairline crack, essentially, you can fill it out with a crack filler or rhinolite if it's internal. External would be like a patching plaster.
Mm-hmm.
Any of the brands that you would get in a DIY store would be fine. Then your primer is actually your most important part of the system. I mean, painting it's decorative, but it's actually a system, right? So
right.
Your plaster, your primer is your most important part. That gives you adhesion to the substrate with the paint.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, any brands, I mean, I'm not going to go through the brands, but I mean, the brands out there in the market are all pretty much have been tested and tried and tested, so that's fine. Put a primer down. That's always usually a one coat system, a one coat, and then your top coat would go on top of that. If you doing an external wall, because paint is acrylic based,
yes,
you would always have to waterproof your horizontal areas. So wherever water would sit after the rains for a period of time, you would have to waterproof that before you actually put your top coat on. How that's done is usually with a product called a FiberSeal or FiberFlex. All of the brands make it. It's basically got little fibers crushed up in the paint, and you would paint that over, and that would give you your waterproofing barrier.
Okay.
As I said before, obviously if there's moisture levels or moisture on your walls close to the ground, that would be more of damp proofing. So the FiberSeal wouldn't sort that out, essentially.
Okay, I was actually going to come to that, because now when you speak of exterior, you have the wall perhaps going down into the lawn or the garden itself. So how would you treat it from that point to ensure that there's no seepage from the soil,
yeah,
so to speak, into the wall structure?
So there are different ways of doing it, but the most common would possibly be to chop off the plaster. Any waterproofing company or damp proofing company can do it. They apply, it's basically a latex product onto the brick, and then they re-plaster. That basically doesn't allow the moisture, it will still come up the bricks in the wall, but it doesn't penetrate through the plaster to the paint.
Okay.
So that gives you your barrier.
All right. Adam, let's just go back to finding out moisture in the walls and what have you. Now, you did say rather call somebody in if you don't have a damp meter, as you mentioned, then call somebody in to really inspect that. But now, if you can't do that, how could you tell just basically if you've got damp? What would be the telltale signs?
Most of the time it's visible. So you'd see bubbling, your paint would actually bubble off the wall. It will actually delaminate. Basically, the water pushes behind the paint. Acrylic is it's not waterproof essentially, but it does create a barrier. So it's not going to come through your paint. It will actually push the paint off the plaster and create a bubble. So for the most part, you would see it. I mean, it could be early stages into the moisture levels increasing, which you wouldn't see. But most of the time, it's either bubble or crack. You'd see a difference in the wall. So rising damp, because of gravity, it can't come up more than 900 mils or a meter above ground level.
Ah.
So you would actually see a difference between the bottom of your wall and the top of your wall.
Okay. I've just got this message in, Adam, from a listener. The listener is asking, what paint must I use for my bathroom? It seems to peel off after 6 months to a year because of the moisture.
Yeah, so obviously taking into account that there's no moisture behind the paint, you should use, it's called kitchen and bathroom paint. It's made by Plascon. I mean, the other brands also make it.
Okay.
But it's more tolerant to moisture levels. You know, when you shower and the windows are closed or you're bathing, the normal PVA paint will eventually delaminate.
Okay, so Adam, you, from what I'm gathering, this paint in character and resemblance seems to be like a gloss paint.
So it does have a type of sheen level to it.
To repel the moisture.
It's not a matte, definitely, but it does have a kind of sheen level to it. Yeah, I can't go into the chemical components of it, it does have more of a sheen level, yeah.
Okay, and speaking of paints, let's now look at the paint situation, different paints for interiors and exteriors, and the advantages and disadvantages. So over to you. What are your recommendations regarding interior and exterior painting?
Okay, so let's just start at the beginning. Obviously, the main difference between interior paint and external paint is external paint has a UV resistance to it.
Right.
So it can actually withstand the UVs to an extent. Also another thing is paint is purely decorative. It's extremely thin, right? So they measure the thicknesses of paint in microns, right?
Okay.
So if you have plastered your wall or you've repaired your wall and you haven't sorted out your cracks properly, you're going to see those imperfections coming through to the paint.
Right.
That being said, you do get textured paints, which will hide the blemishes slightly. You'll still see it, but it'll be obviously a lot better than just a normal matte or higher low sheen paint, right?
Right.
So in terms of internal external paint, I mean, there's literally thousands of companies out there. What I would say is just go with the brands that you know. There's a few brands. I mean, they sell them in all the hardwares. In terms of what paint to use, it's difficult to say. You obviously get different warranty periods on different paints.
Yes.
Your more, so as you go higher, so you can get like a 5-year paint or 7-year paint or 10-year paint. Higher warranted yearly warranted paint you get, it obviously will be more expensive. I think a 7-year paint is probably your norm. I think you'd be fine with that. You know, a Plascon Dulux, Prominent, or Promat, or one of those, you know.
Okay. Regarding exterior, would you recommend, I mean, you've spoken of factors such as UAV rays, which can obviously affect exterior circumstances. So what are we looking at? Yeah. Kind of like a semi-sheen or a matte, or what would you recommend?
So talking about sheen or matte, it just gives you that finish, right? So depending on what you want, you can use either one. Going to, so in terms of exterior UVs, The darker you go on your color, so basically you've got more, so the darker paints have more pigments in it, right?
Okay.
So your darker paints, like your charcoals or even your colors, like your reds and your blues and your greens, they've got a lot of pigments in them. And the more exposure to UVs, so those paints usually discolor quicker than your lighter paints. So that's also something to take into account. Your paint, your paint will last regardless, but you're going to see a change in your color definitely.
Sure. And so that's in the exterior. Now, in our interior paints, the best route there?
Yeah, so your higher sheen level paints are more washable. The more matte you go, or more textured you go, it's much harder to clean. So if you're looking at if you've got a high traffic area with a lot of movement there, maybe go a higher sheen paint.
Okay.
It might just last longer. It's easier to clean and all of that. Obviously, as I said, on your exterior, you've got textured paints. So they're obviously hard blemishes, but they do get dirty much quicker than your higher sheen paints.
Adam, let's just go back to color, the use of color.
Yes.
Let's now look at color both internally and externally. Okay, now you did mention that some tend to fade more than others. But okay, so what is trending now at the moment, and what colors would you recommend for interior and exterior?
So definitely the natural colors are quite trendy now. We did go through a period where it was only grays and dark grays and charcoals and that. It seemed to move a little bit away from that, more to like the beiges and the more natural tones. But, you know, it's a broad statement there, because like people go with what they want. You know, we've painted houses that or walls that they want red, or they want a blue, or, you know, something out there. So it's all dependent. It's purely decorative, and it depends on what the client wants. You know,
Adam, something I have delved in this industry before quite a while back, and from what I recall, also just for DIY knowledge, I think it's really important that the people also know quantities of paint to use. Considering that, you know, you get mixes and you get standard colors. Am I correct?
Yes.
And that can really, really affect your pockets. Over to you.
So, yes, it can. Obviously, the darker paints have more pigment in it, and that tends to be more expensive, right? But besides the monetary part of it, when you mix a paint, it's extremely difficult to match that paint.
Yes.
When you paint, even if it's off the shelf, right, if you paint a wall, and then you want to come and patch that wall 2 years later.
Yeah.
That paint has been on that wall for 2 years. It's had UV
exposure. Right.
Exposure. And now you're coming and you're painting a new. It's exactly the same color. It obviously comes from a different batch.
Right.
But because of that exposure, you'll have to paint that whole facade. So you've got to be careful with that. Even if you use the same paint, if you had paint left over from that project specifically.
Yes.
You will see a difference. So it's obviously always better to paint corner to corner.
Okay. Right. So let's look at mistakes done when, which could possibly transpire during painting, and how to fix it. What should one look out for? What should one really be mindful of?
Okay. So obviously, start at the beginning. Obviously, you got to check your moisture. You got to check your walls are in a decent condition. There's no harm or moisture levels. That's the first thing. Mm-hmm. Secondly, all your preparation, you patching up, you getting all your cracks and all your blemishes as smooth as possible. Number three, you need to clean your walls. Obviously, exterior, a high pressure clean would be the best. Obviously, not everyone has a high pressure cleaner. So just take a hose pipe and wash off the walls. It's very important to get all the dirt off or contamination off as much as possible. On your interior walls, you can just use a wet cloth to wipe them down.
Okay.
Then the next thing would be to prime. Obviously, if you've got a previously painted wall, you don't have to prime that wall. It's got acrylic on already. It's only really where it's called spot priming. So where you put on a rhinolite or a plaster, a patch plaster, whatever, you would prime over there. Very important to wait for your paint to dry between coats. A lot of people right. tend to paint it on and then they want to paint on the next coat after an hour. It doesn't work. It needs to dry between coats. That's very important.
Sure. Adam, sorry, if I can just come in there. I've come across situations where somebody's had a very bright colored wall and wanting it a light color. Now, obviously, that's going to take a lot of coats. That's obviously going to affect quantities, too.
Correct. The best thing to do there is to put an undercoat or a primer down over that color.
Okay.
To get the wall back to white, mm-hmm. and then you paint over with the new color. That's the best way to do it. Otherwise, it will take you, as you said, about probably 3 to 4 coats to get that color down.
Indeed. Adam, let's move on to roof painting now. What does one need to know about that?
So roof painting, it's a very similar process in terms of preparation. Obviously, if you've got, I'm guessing you're talking about metal roofs.
Metal and tile, and tiled roofs.
And tiled roofs. Okay, so tiled roofs are maybe a little bit easier because you don't really have to prime. It's usually an acrylic on there. Obviously, if it hasn't been previously painted, you would prime it.
Mm-hmm.
But going to metal roofs, obviously, the waterproofing component is the most important,
right.
and that's obviously a professional would be the best person to look at that. You know, we don't like doing like the membranes and all of that because a roof is designed in a way that it's designed. So, if your sheets have rusted or your laps are coming out, we would obviously replace that sheet or we would replace the screws or whatever. But ultimately, once that's done, the painting procedure is very similar to the walls. You would high pressure clean or wash it down. You would scrape off your loose and flaky paint on your sheets, and then you would coat your roofs. You can use a roller or brush or whatever you prefer.
Okay, but Adam, if you look at the difference between tiled roofs and metal roofs, again, quantity of paint comes into play in terms of absorption with a tile roof as compared to the smooth metal surface of a corrugated roof.
Absolutely, you are correct. So we the term is spread rate on the paint, right?
Right.
So obviously on a smooth surface, you'll get a certain spread rate.
Mm-hmm.
On a tiled roof, or if you're painting a very heavy facade, a thick facade, your spread rate will go right down. So usually you would get, let's say, between 5 and 7 squares per litre on a normal surface. On a tiled roof, it would probably be half of that.
Adam, yes. Okay, so not much time left to interrogate you, but Adam, just in conclusion, any specific pointers you'd like to put out there for aspirant DIY painters and also what equipment they could look at to begin with?
Okay, perfect. So I think one of the most important things in painting is when you're painting, like, let's say with a roller, it doesn't matter if it's an external or interior wall,
mm-hmm.
you must paint in the same direction on that whole facade because you will see those streak lines, they call it.
Right.
Also, you must always keep a wet edge. So what that means is if you're painting half the wall and you run out of paint and you only come back like an hour later, that where you finished and where you started is dry and wet. So you're going to see that line there. And it will be a bad imperfection. So,
mm-hmm.
so it's always good to when you start a wall, to finish that wall while it's still wet, the paint, and always roll or brush in the same direction.
Okay.
What was the next one? Oh, in terms of consumables, obviously, I mean, if you would need a drop sheet or drop sheet and masking tape, if you're painting around plugs or plug points or wherever, if you're coming up to your kitchen counter, you would obviously mask that off, you would put drop sheets down. And then just have obviously thinners and that in your brush and brushes and rollers. And people are sensitive to smell, a mask.
Sure, of course.
Your basic PPE, if you want to call it that.
Adam, we're going to have to leave it there. I must thank you so much for joining us on the Afternoon Overdrive just to give us your advice as to those wanting to go about preparing and painting their properties from a DIY perspective, and what are the poignant notes that they need to take heed of when going about doing such a painting jobs. Adam Grodzicki, thanks so much, founder and director at Maintenance Aid.